Boy, John, I am very, very happy that the Bucks ended up pulling that game off out of thin air, really. I mean, look, it was much of the same for the first 55 minutes for the Buccaneers, and really, for the sake of the Saints kind of tripping over their own feet, they got another opportunity because, I mean, they were looking dead in the water again to a Saints team that, yeah, you know what, they have struggled with in years past, but they could not afford to lose that game last night, and certainly not in the fashion they were heading toward. So Tom Brady does it again. He was just pretty incredible those last couple drives. I mean, I thought he had an okay game for most part. I mean, there was a few throws that obviously I know he would want to have back, but the issues for this team still exist, just not in the two-minute offense when apparently they hand the keys over to Brady, which they should do a lot more often.
Yeah, try this for more than 5 minutes of the 60 minutes, and maybe you won't have to have a 13-point come-from-behind victory in the final 5 minutes. Maybe try that earlier.
Again, EPA was kind of the big hot topic last year, expected points, all that stuff. When the Buccaneers, and I don't know how much weight you want to put on it or the listeners want to put on it, but when the Buccaneers are in the hurry-up, no-huddle-ish offense, not necessarily like the fast, just, you know, letting Brady kind of direct traffic from not huddling up. They're second in the NFL on offense in EPA.
Mm-hmm.
When they're not doing that, they're 29th. The numbers have been clear as day for months now when it comes to what the Bucks do well and don't do well. And unfortunately for the Bucks, the offense insists on trying to do the things that they don't do well over and over and over again. And I don't want to get, and in this, I tweeted this right before the comeback started, because I think Troy Aikman said something about, that's why Todd Bowles punt. No, let's not give credit to Todd Bowles for two horrible decisions to punt on fourth down. Mostly the one where they were on the 40-yard line. That was, again, Why are you doing that to give up 20 yards of field position? The one where Brady mm-hmm. was kind of pissed on the sidelines. But let's not give him credit for the Saints basically tripping over themselves, which allowed the Buccaneers, and give credit where credit's due, Tom and the Bucs offense delivered and did what they were supposed to do. Almost didn't because of Donovan Smith, but again, that's another... it's a Sunday, so of course that's going to happen. Let's not lose sight of, again, how poorly this team is coached and prepared each and every week, and how poorly they adjust for the most part until, and someone put this perfectly on Twitter, and I wish I snagged the handle because it really made sense to me. The only time they adjust is when they are forced to adjust, meaning, well, they don't go to the hurry up offense until they're down by two scores with 4 minutes left in the game. Well, they have no choice, obviously. They don't adjust to different... You know what I mean? There's just many things they don't adjust to until they really have no other choice but to do that, and that's not a sign of a proactive team. That's kind of a reactionary, you know, try-not-to-lose type of team, and that's what we've seen from the Buccaneers for the most part.
Yeah, maybe flip the script a little bit, right? Next game, come out in the no-huddle or hurry-up or...
How many times have we said that, John?
Plays. It just doesn't happen.
How many times have we said that? Every week.
Well, I mean... And I echo this with Aaron Rodgers as well, because I think he is probably the second best at that as far as, you know, he running the offense, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, let him call the plays, let him, you know, dictate the pace, and, of course, let Brady do that. They're the two veteran quarterbacks in this league that you trust the most in those situations. I think the young guys are all getting really good at it. Mahomes and Burrow and Allen and all these dudes are all really good, too. But those guys have so much institutional knowledge and experience that they're so comfortable situation. So let them cook, as we would say.
They're like the two guys that actually know more than the defensive coordinators on the other side of the field. You know what I mean? Where, like, these young guys, even the mediocre defensive coordinators, have seen more football than some of these young, you know, signal callers. So it's like, okay, yeah, you can understand why maybe, you know, over time, like, that advantage is going to wane, especially with the elite quarterbacks. But at least now they can always kind of get the upper hand. You don't have a defensive coordinator in that. Bill Belichick, okay? If you want to consider him a defensive mind, he's like the only guy that's actually older, it feels like, than Tom Brady in this league, at least when it comes to that. So, again, let these guys do what they do best. And it's so apparent and it's so obvious when watching this team, and it has been since day one of this season. They are best when they are running the offense through Tom Brady's arm, and people point to, oh, he throws a lot. No. What I'm talking about is, like, how many times are we getting a run on first down, a little swing screen on second down, and then you're stuck in third and nine, or third and 10, mm-hmm. or third and 11 every single time, and you wonder why these deep shots aren't as connected. Well, again, kind of going back to the whole, well, they do this when they're forced to. Well, the only time they seem to throw a deep pass is when they absolutely need to, which, again, that's doing nothing to create some sort of rhythm or chemistry between Brady and these receivers. This is just, oh my God, we need 12 yards on a third and 11. Start working those in more. Like earlier, like stop waiting until you absolutely need it. Catch these teams off guard. Hurry up the offense a little bit, because what I saw yesterday was like just an absolute turnstile of an offensive line. Okay, every single time the ball was snapped, and it was like, oh my God, Brady's just swarmed, and it's like you're wondering why he's getting rid of the ball quickly. I saw some Bucs fans, oh, the guy doesn't want to get hit. Who wants to get hit? You know, like, why are you going to sit there and take the brunt of a hit that, you know, is the result of really kind of poor blocking and poor offensive line play? And we saw it much of the night last night. So, well, what do Todd Bowles and the offense and Byron Leftwich do? Well, they do nothing to change it. They just keep coming with the same thing. They huddle up, they line up, they run their play. And more often than not, it's the same predictable handful of plays, which, again, anyone that's watched this team any extended period of time, and that includes the Saints, who watch plenty of film on this team, can sit there and pinpoint before it even happens. Hell, I'm doing it on the couch, and I haven't played football in 25 years, so I don't know.
Dennis Allen seems to have a pretty good read on whatever Brady's doing in Tampa, but even before that, I remember when he was head coach with the Raiders, and I think the Patriots beat them 16-9 back in 2014, and the offense struggled. So maybe he has some idea how to combat Tom Brady. But the thing is, when you talk about Brady and Leftwich, Brady had three Super Bowl wins before Leftwich was even drafted into the league as a player. So who has more experience? It's Tom Brady. And I said about Aaron Rodgers, I mean, Matt LaFleur is only a couple years older than Aaron Rodgers. You know, normally you're thinking of Mahomes and Andy Reid. That's kind of like the cool quarterback head coach dynamic, you know, like the kind of lovable old coot and, you know, the young quarterback that's a stud. It's kind of an interesting combination. Whereas, I mean, Tom Brady goes over to the sideline and he's probably looking at these guys going, what have they ever done without me? Like, you know, like Todd Bowles was the D coordinator when they won a Super Bowl a couple years ago. He wasn't a really successful head coach with the Jets, nor has he been one with Tampa. And Leftwich was kind of along for the ride. And I think he did a good job back in 2020. But let's not forget, you know, you remember those reports where Bruce Arians would come in with the red pen and cross things off the game plan? Well, maybe Bruce Arians was up to something, right? Because the offense was better last year and the year before with Arians involved.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think he had, and this is what, you know, again, is in my opinion, kind of the dynamic here, is that he had obviously a more influence on what happened, because we certainly didn't see this non-existent deep. I mean, no risk it, no biscuit. What the hell happened to that? You know, like, mm-hmm. yep. You know, when's the last time we saw that? Well, we see it at the end of the games when they desperately need it. And again, more often than not, it works. So why not continue to implement that throughout the game and not wait until the very end? It's like, I mean, yeah, at this point, it's like they start the game off with a run right up to, and it's like, all right, here we go again. Same nonsense over and over and over again. It's so predictable. It's so easy to pinpoint. And you wonder why this team can't score points, because the defenders on the other side are like, all right, this is the exact same thing they did last week and the week before, you know? And again, it's just, I don't want people to lose sight. And again, sometimes that might happen in a win. I don't want people to lose sight about, you know, the poor coaching decisions made in this game. Obviously, to punt on your opponent's 40-yard line at the time, that was dumb. Again, another terrible, terrible decision on behalf of Bowles. Let's not forget last week the whole explanation as to why they didn't go with the hurry-up offense. Again, another example this week as to why you put all your trust in Tom Brady in situations like this and not play the safe, quote unquote, safe card. It's to me, it's an obvious. That's what's so frustrating about this team is because like I keep getting sucked back in when I'm not giving up, because I'm never gonna give up with a Tom Brady led team. And each and every week, his strengths when they play to him, you know, you can see why they're still a dangerous team, especially in this what seems like now a watered down NFC with some of the things that have transpired over the last couple weeks. So I don't know. I mean, like I said, I look at this, I see Brady each and every week. The guy's still got an arm. He's still accurate. You know, it's obviously frustrating when you can't get in a rhythm, you can't step up. I mean, every big play, it seems like you're always holding your breath that there isn't a massive penalty on Donovan Smith to, you know, to bring it back, kind of like what happened on the first of the two game-winning touchdowns Tom Brady threw. So, do I have long-term faith in this team? Not until I'm convinced that they just defer to the Brady offense. And again, this doesn't mean that Tom Brady's going to go in and put together the entire game plan and sit in there and supersede Byron Leftwich. No, I'm talking about doing the things that play to his strengths. Stop this 1950s, 60s running offense and realize, hey, this is the 21st century. You got the greatest quarterback of all time who happens to throw the ball very, very well. Use his arm.
Yeah, it's almost like a flashback to 2015. Remember when the Patriots needed a win in Miami to clinch the number one seed, and they gave the ball to Steven Jackson like an ungodly number of times in the first half, and like I'm still trying to figure out what that was about.
You don't have to remind me about that one. I was there, John.
When he hands over when he hands off to Leonard Fournette, is he going, is this Leonard Fournette or Steven Jackson? I mean, is this 2015 or is it 2022? I just don't understand it. Like, I like a running game. It's great, especially it sets up play action, but let's not take the ball out of the best quarterback ever's hands, or any elite quarterback for that matter. Like, that's why you pay these guys, and that's the separator in this sport, right? You have one of those guys, use them.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree, and that's the thing. It's like, I'm not advocating for abandoning the running game, but again, you can't this idea that you have to, you know, establish the run first. No, that throw that out the window. I don't want to hear that anymore. I don't want to see that as a philosophy. I don't want to hear those words come out of any of those coaches' mouth. You do not need to establish the run. You need to establish success. And in order to do that, you have to throw the ball, and you have to do it in a better manner, which you have been doing it. And that is, don't wait until you're forced to on third and long and wait until you're in situations where you need to have scoring quickly. Have that mentality the entire game. Come out fast. Like you said, come out and spread them out. Start throwing the ball. Throw the ball 15 times in a row. I don't care. Like, go out there and offset what you normally do and surprise teams. Because right now, like I said, I mean, I'm happy that they won, but I still have zero faith in this coaching staff, because what I saw throughout the game was just still the same, a lot of the same things.
Do you know how insane it is and how stupid some of these head coaches and offensive coordinators are? And I remember this with Mike McCarthy in Green Bay, and I think Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich may subscribe to this as well. It's like, if we get to 30 rushing attempts, where, you know, 22-1 in our last 23 games, well, you know what, then hand the ball off the first 30 plays of the game and you clinch a win. Just walk off the field. It must be a win. Do they not understand that you can run the ball once you have a lead, right? Yeah. So you're controlling the ball in that fashion. They've mixed up cause and effect, right? So that's what's just absolutely maddening. You know, it's just like, no, that's not the thing. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys always won when Emmitt Smith had 20 carries. First of all, they were a dominant team, but also because they were milking or nursing a lead, right? They were up 10, 14 points. So, yeah, run the ball. Good for that. Like, there's no need that Tampa Bay has to come out running and try to get to 30 rushing attempts and think that's going to be the magic pill. Like, you know, use the run later when you're up 10, 14 points. And then you mix in a pass with that as well. Like, do you not trust a guy who is the greatest player ever who takes care of the football as well? I mean, this isn't a turnover machine type quarterback. You know, he's going to take care of the football in these big situations.
Yeah, and that's, again, that's, trust me, you're preaching to the choir, my friend, because I'm sitting here looking at every single number. I mean, this is almost unprecedented, John, really. Every single number suggests exactly what I've been saying. You know, more of the hurry up, more of the run the offense through Brady's arm type of deal, and kind of get away from the, you know, the run first, establish the run mentality. But the Bucs coaching staff continues to choose to do the opposite. Everything that shouldn't work doesn't work. Surprise, surprise. You know, because based on what we've seen, and look, if they ran the ball 30 times, they wouldn't even hit 100 yards based on their average.
No.
It's like, which is absurd to think about. So, yeah, so am I happy? Yes, I think this is going to go a long way. Had they lost that game, now you're talking about a very messy situation in the division with a interesting game against San Francisco coming up. Obviously, now you've kind of, you know, you've swept the Saints. You're up on the Falcons. I think you've split with Carolina. Or no, you've lost to Carolina, and you have one game each against both of those teams the rest of the way. So you're in pretty good shape moving forward. It makes San Francisco's game not a must win, but you know, if you want to do more than just show up to the playoffs, they need to figure out something because the talent is there. The ability is there. I mean, Tom Brady hasn't fallen off a cliff. I know Mike Evans has struggled as well. I mean, a lot of players on this offense, including Brady, have struggled. I think a lot of it has to do with how they have been coached. Like, people are like, oh, why aren't you throwing the ball to Mike Evans? Well, you're not calling anything that's helping him, you know? Like, You're sending him on these deep routes. Well, it's like, well, of course teams know you're going to have to throw the ball because it's 3rd and 11. So what are they going to do? Well, they're going to pressure you and make sure that Mike Evans doesn't squeeze free, and there you go. You can't throw to him. So they need to get more creative on offense. They need to just, again, completely change their philosophy or just adapt or adopt their two-minute drill all the time, because that just seems to be the only thing that's working for them, the only thing that comes close to resembling what we've seen from them the last couple of years and what we've seen from Tom Brady for his entire career.
Yeah, I mean, and you can tweak that as well. It doesn't mean you're going to go in the no huddle for 60 minutes.
No.
But you do it in certain situations, right? It's like being a point guard in basketball. Okay, we're going to push the pace here. Maybe for a few possessions, we're going to slow it down because we need to get a good shot. You know, those types of things. And who do you trust more than him to do that? Like, that's the baffling thing. It's not like putting out there a second or third year quarterback that's inexperienced. I think this guy knows what he's doing out there. But like you said, interesting matchup this weekend against San Francisco. Unfortunately, Jimmy Garoppolo not there. That would have been one of the marquee games of the weekend.
It's quite a storyline.
Pretty important. Oh my Lord, that would have been fantastic. Brady going back to the Bay Area against Jimmy G. That'd be fantastic. Unfortunately, Jimmy G with that, you know, kind of gruesome injury on Sunday. He's out for the year. And you know, we'll see. Will the 49ers be able to claim Baker Mayfield and fly him in as a backup quarterback?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because